A recent report in the Boston Globe threw a spotlight on drunk driving cases in Massachusetts, finding that while most cases, 85%, don't make it to court, the accused plead out, pay a fine, lose a license, do mandatory alcohol education, the 15% of cases that do make it to court are more likely to be heard by judges than juries, and at least 80% of the time, judges throw out cases despite what seems like rock-solid evidence. Police officers catch drivers passed out or driving into people's yards or going the wrong way in the highway, and still, they are acquitted, the highest judicial acquittal rate in the country. On average, nationally, judges throw out about half of drug driving cases. Marcella Bombardieri and Jonathan Salzman were the lead reporters on the Boston Globe Spotlight series on drunk driving, which recently won a George Polk Award for investigative journalism. Although there's been criticism of the series, as we're going to hear. But first, Marcella, John, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This was quite riveting reading and also jaw-dropping, you know. So just give us more of a sense. You combed through records to find this information. And we should say these aren't cases where someone was killed by a drunk driver. These aren't jury trials. These are bench trials, meaning a judge decides the case. So, Marcella, start with you. Just give us an example. Make our jaw drop.
Okay, well, there are so many. For example, we started off our project with a very simple case, a young man who was stopped for speeding, and he had the typical signs the police describe of someone who appears intoxicated. He also took a breathalyzer test, and it was 0.13. That's well above the 0.08 legal limit. And there was also a video of him at the stop where the policeman stopped him, and the judge said, you don't look so bad on the video. I'm going to give you a break. Not guilty.
Right. Now, that judge later said perhaps that was a poor choice of words, but that is, I mean, what a metaphor, John, for what you were finding. They seem to be giving them breaks.
Yeah. I mean, we found numerous instances where you literally could not understand why judges were acquitting people. There is a classic example of this young guy who in 2008 was driving his car and he struck a house, and the guy gets out of the car, falls face forward on the lawn, and when the ambulance comes and the police come, the guy says, "I can't drive drunk." He was acquitted, and he was acquitted because the judge wasn't convinced that he had been driving on a public way, which is one of the requirements, before he hit the house.
As the homeowner said, what, did he come in on a jet ski or something like that? I mean, how did he get into my yard?
Right, exactly. And we came across this time and time again where we'd literally be looking at each other and saying, are we missing something here? Or, you know, I don't get it.
Well, there's one more that I wish, Marcella, maybe you can jump in on this. The case of a judge who had someone in her courtroom who was drunk actually took a break and had them, you know, take the breathalyzer test in the courtroom?
Absolutely. And the judge asked the guy, did you drive here? And he said, yes, I did. And the judge just failed to act. So after the man left in his car, basically the prosecutor and a police officer chased after him, and he was eventually charged again with driving under the influence.
From the courtroom.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. And they ultimately took those two cases, both that case as well as the underlying case, and they ended up transferring it to another judge in a completely different area.
It's worth mentioning about this judge also that he was himself charged with drunk driving in 1995, a few years before he became a judge, and he refused the breathalyzer, which is a common tactic that helps people win an acquittal, and he went to a bench trial in front of a judge, and he was himself acquitted.
So this is something, let's get to the heart of why this is happening, because this sort of jumped out at me as one potential reason that there's a sympathy factor. You mentioned this judge who himself had been charged. You're nodding yes, Marcella. But why else is this happening so much?
Well, there's a number of reasons. There's a few things that are unusual about Massachusetts that make it harder to get a conviction here. And one of those is that it is one of only two states in the country, along with Rhode Island, where refusing the breathalyzer cannot be used against you in the courtroom. It can't be brought into evidence. The basis for that is the idea that it's self-incrimination. So there's a few quirks to state law. There's certain judges who are just very lenient, and the defense lawyers know how to basically gravitate towards them and bring their cases in front of them.
And John, why are they lenient? Never have we had more pressure. You've got Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And in other states, Arizona, Colorado, Hawaii, judges convict accused drunk drivers a majority of the time. You describe in some parts here what seems like a chumminess.
I think there are a couple other factors. For one thing, about 10 years ago, Massachusetts, the court system was sharply criticized for being one of the slowest moving in the country. And as a result of that, the leaders of the courts imposed these time standards that require the judges to move cases along. And we had one defense lawyer who point blank told us, he said, look, you know, judges are not judged on their verdicts. They're judged on their backlogs. And as it happens, these cases, these OUI cases, if you have a bench trial, it typically takes about an hour. If you have a jury trial, you've got to pick a jury, you've got to swear in the jury, it can take a day. So these judges are much more inclined to move these cases along. Now, if you marry that with the fact that there are certain savvy defense lawyers who know which judges have a tendency to be sympathetic to these cases, those defense lawyers are going to gravitate to those judges.
Getting to the defense lawyers, you describe at least three of them as lawyers who have really made this a cottage industry. I think you call it, what do you call it?
OUI Inc.
OUI Inc., right. Because these lawyers charge top dollar. And there was a scene you described, Marcella, in which when they walked into a courtroom, one of the judges visibly brightened when she saw them. There's a relationship.
Absolutely. These attorneys are very experienced. They know the ins and outs of the law, sometimes better than the judges, better than the, you know, inexperienced young prosecutors. And they're, in some cases, social friends with these judges.
In some cases, they're former judges. It's a fascinating experience because these are cases that we almost never cover routinely. You know, we cover an OUI case if, God forbid, somebody is killed. So we'd be going to these trials, and we were the only people in the courtrooms. And if you could see the conviviality between the lawyers and the clerks and everything, it's pretty surprising.
What the defense lawyers say, and when, what, in fact, the Chief Justice of the District Courts, Linda Connolly, said, was that they believe that prosecutors are so loath to dismiss these cases because it is so unpopular that they are taking cases into the courtroom that should have been dropped for lack of evidence.
Meaning that prosecutors are aware of Mothers Against Drunk Driving and they don't want to throw something out for fear that they'll be
exactly
the ones.
Right.
But we saw and heard so many trials, and we saw cases that were weak, definitely. That is a percentage of them. But we saw, you know, more cases than we knew what to do with, where there was a ton of evidence to convict.
These are cases where we'd walk out and say, you know, the person practically threw themselves at the cop and said, arrest me, I'm drunk.
Right.
And they were still acquitted.
Jonathan Saltzman and Marcella Bombardieri wrote the Boston Globe Spotlight series on drunk driving, which won a George Polk Award for investigative journalism and has led to a state investigation. But lawyers like Randy Chapman from here in Massachusetts have responded saying they don't keep clients from juries as much as realize that judges have to acquit if there's not enough evidence. And so if there's not enough evidence, it's not the defending lawyer's fault. James Collins is the president of the Massachusetts Judges Conference. He told our home station WBUR that he questioned the focus of the Globe series.
I don't think they prove the assertion that judges across the state are being too easy and too lenient on people who operate under the influence.
Still, the state Supreme Court is investigating. Boston Globe reporters Marcella Bombardieri and Jonathan Saltzman reported the series. John, you know, clarify for us, how many drunk driving cases make it to a judge and not a jury?
The vast majority of OUI cases in the state that occur each year, which is about 17,000 cases, 85% of those are disposed of before trial. People will plead out. What we focused on were the roughly 1,000 cases a year that do go to trial. And
in front of a judge.
Right. And that, of course, is a decision that's made by the defendant. The defendant has that choice.
And the lawyers are telling these defendants, don't go before a jury, correct?
Because right. And one of the things that one can overlook, and we couldn't quantify statistically, but there's definitely a strong suspicion that there's an economic factor here as well, because not everybody can afford to spend $8,500 or $10,000 or even $15,000 if you've been convicted once or twice before for a lawyer to fight this case. And so a lot of people will just plead out. So there definitely, definitely is, at least to a degree, economics plays a role in this.
And in most of those cases, are those people fined? I mean, they admit to drunk driving. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
And these are the cases, 1,000 or so, where people either know the system. I mean, you quote one woman who says right to the cop, I know the lawyer I'm going to pay, and I'm going to get out of this, and I'm going to get your job, too. So people
and see she that, did get
and
out
she
of it.
Did. They know the system. And also, either they know, or in some cases the lawyers tell them, don't choose a jury trial, which they can do, because I think you're going to have a better chance over here with the lawyer.
And that can often work to the defendant's advantage, because if they see somebody on the bench who they know is somebody who is has a history of being lenient in these cases, they walk in that day and say, oh, Your Honor, we don't want a jury trial. We want a bench trial.
Yeah. Okay, couple questions. What effect does this have on the police who are out there trying to keep these potential accidents off the road? We know in other states, there's police have greater powers. In California, and I think a few other states, they can forcibly draw blood samples from drivers they suspect are drunk. This has to be chilling for the police.
Yeah, we spoke to several police officers who said that, their patrol men and women are, it's hard to keep them motivated to go out and make these arrests, because there was a former Hingham police chief who said, his officers come back and from court and they say it was a bag job. And we did gather some statistics that showed that, in fact, in the past couple of years, the number of these OUI arrests have indeed declined. Now, that may be partly due to the economy, and a lot of these police departments are strapped and they've mm-hmm. laid off officers. But there are definitely cops out there who will say, you know what, I don't even bother anymore because I know the guy's going to be acquitted.
Do you think there will be some sort of change? And I guess I wonder, too, what the readers said, because, everybody knows someone, or maybe like that judge, there are people who are thinking, God, there but for the grace of God, What was the attitude of the readers?
I think that a lot of people were very appalled and concerned about what it might say about who's on the road. And I think, there is that feeling that a lot of people have that, there was that time I should not have driven home and I did. One thing we tried to show in part of our project was actually that the legal limit of 0.08 is probably more drinks for most people than people realize it is. It's not someone who had two drinks or three drinks or even four drinks was just close to the line. It's usually a lot more stark than that.
Yeah, I mean, we were dealing with some of these cases. Literally, there was a case where a guy fell asleep behind the wheel while he was at a Burger King or a Wendy's at the drive-in window. and then he later told the cops that he thought it was better to fall asleep in his car in the line at the fast food joint than to be driving around. This guy later blamed it on amoxicillin,
which is an antibiotic.
Right.
It shouldn't make you sleepy. Do you think there will be a change in the law, John? Something, even as simple as allowing the breathalyzer results into the bench trial?
I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. There have been efforts to make these OUI laws more stringent. And the state legislature has a lot of defense lawyers in it who are wholly unsympathetic to that sort of initiative. It's hard to tell. I mean, I'll be very curious to see what happens when Jack Cinquegrana, who is the former federal prosecutor, concludes his investigation. But I would say that the jury's still out as to whether, there's going to be any change.
There is no jury in
right.
this jury. Anyway,
exactly.
That's Jonathan Saltzman, along with Marcella Bombardieri, lead reporters on the Boston Globe Spotlight Team, George Polk Award-winning series on the judge acquittal rate of accused drunk drivers in Massachusetts. Thanks to you both.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you.